WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Hey, what is up, beautiful people? Happy Tuesday. Yes, it is Tuesday, folks, here on Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Hope you all are having a great start to your week. We have a great show in store for you all as we'll be talking about Kenny Kaminsky. Yes, and it sort of changes the context of our conversation that we had about Kenny yesterday. But MSU, now former MSU men's basketball player Kenny Kaminsky, has been dismissed by Tom Izzo and the basketball program. We'll chat about that. Also bring to you our wall-to-wall coverage from MSU football media day yesterday down at Spartan Stadium. We'll also talk about the Yankees and the Tigers, Keith Appling signing a new deal with a different team in the NBA, Andre Drummond on possibly making the USA team, and Tony Bosch, yeah, some new revealings about his whole steroid case. So you don't want to miss any of that and so much more. As custom here on the show, here is Alex Shark with your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners.
Good afternoon, I'm Alex Sharg, and these are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners for Tuesday, August 5th. Michigan State men's basketball head coach Tom Izzo announced yesterday that Kenny Kaminsky has been dismissed from the team. Tom Izzo said, quote, "Despite multiple opportunities, Kenny Kaminsky could not live up to the obligations necessary to be a part of our program. Being a Spartan is a special opportunity, and at Michigan State, we do everything we can to provide an amazing experience for our student athletes. With that privilege also comes a responsibility to conduct oneself in a certain manner. After he repeatedly failed to meet the necessary obligations, it became apparent that it was time to dismiss Kenny from the program." In other basketball news, former Michigan State point guard and Detroit native Keith Appling has accepted a training camp invitation with the Los Angeles Lakers Monday night, says his agent Mike Silverman. Other teams were also in pursuit of his services, according to his agent. Soon after going unpicked in the June NBA draft, Appling signed a free agent contract with the Portland Trailblazers. He played in two of Portland's five Las Vegas Summer League games, scoring a total of 5 points in 17 minutes. University of Michigan sophomore wide receiver Cassante York has been suspended indefinitely by head coach Brady Hoke and will not report to fall camp. Michigan released the news shortly before selected members of the team were scheduled to meet with the media Sunday, the first official day of fall camp. Ann Arbor police confirmed to the Ann Arbor News on Sunday that York is the subject of a current ongoing police investigation. York had not been charged with any crime as of Sunday. The 6'3", 191-pound York played in one game last season as a reserve wide receiver. Brandon McCarthy won his fourth start in a row with a gritty effort as the New York Yankees took the first of three against the Detroit Cy Youngers, beating the Detroit Tigers 2-1 Monday night. Max Scherzer gave up 9 hits over 7 innings and losing for the first time since June 17th, which was a span of 8 starts. And tonight, David Price, the 2012 AL Cy Young winner, will make his Tigers debut. He'll be followed by 2011 winner Justin Verlander tomorrow. In somewhat unsurprising news, Detroit Pistons center Andre Drummond made the first cut on Team USA Basketball on Monday, a team that will be playing in the World Cup of Basketball in Spain. Wizards guards Bradley Beal and John Wall, along with Atlanta Hawks forward Paul Millsap, were some of the most recent cuts from the FIBA team. The roster is now down to 16. The Federal Drug Enforcement Administration completed its investigation and handed down charges to Tony Bosch and others associated with the Biogenesis Clinic this morning. It is also reported that Bosch will plead guilty to the charges, which include distribution of anabolic steroids. 10 others were arrested with Bosch. And today marks a year in which the MLB handed suspensions down to Alex Rodriguez and countless others associated with the clinic. And after an early exit at Bridgestone due to a back injury, Tiger Woods is still uncertain to play in this week's Ryder Cup. Captain Tom Watson of USA told reporters that he wasn't sure of Woods' status for the championship. The tournament last weekend was Woods' third tournament since he had back surgery on March 31st. And finally, in NFL news, Cincinnati Bengals and quarterback Andy Dalton have agreed to a 6-year extension worth $115 million that will keep them locked as a Bengal until 2020. Dalton led the Bengals to an 11-5 record last year with 33 touchdown passes to go along with an AFC North title. His rookie contract was ending this year with a salary of $1.7 million. And those are your current sports quick hit headliners for this Tuesday, August 5th. Time to send it back to Al to start the show with all of the MSU Football Media Day coverage. Lines are now open.
All right, thanks a ton, Alex. As you just heard the man, our phone lines are now open and will be throughout this entire hour up until the 2 p.m. mark. You can give us a call at 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527, and talk about anything that's on your sports nag. And as you just heard, there is a ton to talk about on today's show. In just a moment, you'll get to hear from head coach Mark D'Antonio, guys like Keith Mumphrey, quarterback Connor Cook, just so many players who are in attendance for MSU Football Media Day yesterday. I love Media Day because, you know, it's a time where you get to see, you know, how the team is progressing in training camp, where their mentality is, especially a year like this, where they're coming off winning a Rose Bowl, they're on the national spotlight. There is certainly a target on the back of this MSU men's football team, and we definitely dug into how they are approaching dealing with that attention. So you get to hear that and so much more. It was a great time. It was a media scrum everywhere, and I love it because they spread out all the players, offense and defense, and you get to sit down one-on-one and just really pick their brain, not only about the X's and O's, but just about, you know, just being an individual on the MSU football team and just their daily life and the daily grind of just being successful. So it was a great time out there. You'll get to hear that in just a sec. Again, we'll also be chatting about, you know, the Yankees topping the Tigers yesterday. David Price, this is an exciting day if you're a Tigers fan. David Price will be hitting the mound. Yes, you know, that big blockbuster trade that sent David from the Tampa Bay Rays to the Detroit Tigers to give the Tigers, without question, the best starting pitching rotation in all of baseball. So we'll get to see David's debut in the Bronx tonight. That should be an exciting, exciting time. So we'll talk about the Tigers. Also, Keith Appling, as you just heard from Alex, Keith Appling is still trying to make his NBA dreams come true, signing a camp deal with the LA Lakers. So hopefully he makes a roster. We'll break down and give you our thoughts on whether or not he will make a roster. And Andre Drummond is also on the grind trying to make a roster on Team USA. So we'll talk about that and so much more. And how about Tony Bosch, huh? Yeah, I think he's come around, folks. My whole theory on this thing, you know, again, you just heard Tony Bosch is pleading guilty in his whole Biogenesis Clinic scandal. And, you know, he's been handed down charges and, you know, he will plead guilty to the charges, which include distribution of anabolic steroids. Now, 10 others were arrested with Bosch, including Alex Rodriguez's cousin. Can you believe that? So this is really interesting. I'm pretty sure that the DEA certainly gave Bosch a deal, a very favorable deal. You know, if a deal opposed to whether or not Bosch would have tried this in court and really would have fought it and been found guilty, it would have definitely been a harsher punishment rather than, you know, Bosch pleading guilty. I'm sure they definitely cushioned him with that. But we'll give you our thoughts on that as well, because, you know, this talks about the whole steroid era in baseball, and Tony Bosch had a big part in hand in that. We all know how many people perceive guys like Alex Rodriguez and so on and so forth when it comes to this whole steroid scandal, specifically in the Tony Bosch era. It's just a really interesting story. Again, this just happened today. Tony Bosch, he has surrendered to the DEA, and you know, it says that he has reached a deal to plead guilty with the conspiracy to distribute steroids. So, interesting story there. We'll also dive into that and so much more. Again, folks, you can be a part of the discussion here on the show, 517-355-9527. Also, I have to remind you all that, hey, Current Sports TV graces your television once again this week with a brand new fresh episode, and I'll be sitting down with a man who has had just one incredible, and still is having, just one incredible tenure with the Ithaca football team. It is the most successful football team right now in the entire state of Michigan, one of the most successful in the entire nation. They have the longest winning streak in high school football right now in the state of Michigan, and one of the longest winning streaks in the entire nation. The Ithaca football team, folks, coached by the great Terry Hesbrook. Yes, Terry will be joining me tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. If you want to be a part of that live studio audience, you know that we always have a great time each and every Current Sports TV taping, as you know, many of the public come out and enjoy the tapings, and I get to, you know, just have a one-on-one connection with all you Current Sports fanatics out there. I love it. I love seeing your smiling faces each and every Wednesday. Again, that'll be guest Terry Hesbrook, head coach of the Ithaca football team. If you want to be a part of that live studio audience, it's really simple. All you have to do is crack open that laptop or iPad or even your smartphone device and type in WKAR.org, and it's really simple. There's directions there on how to sign up online, and boom, just got to show your face on tomorrow morning. So definitely looking forward to that. It should be a fantastic episode. Well, Alex, how you doing, my man? We were out at Media Day yesterday. That was a good time, wasn't it?
Good time. Excited to get to some of these bites for us to discuss some of the humor in some of the interviews, some of the...
They had a good time yesterday.
Some of the repeated questions we heard on and on again. And
yeah.
It was
the cliche answers. You hear that all the time. I always call it player and coach speak. You heard that a lot yesterday. But, you know, you had guys like Shalit Calhoun, who also had a lot of fun. Him and guys like Curtis Drummond, they had a lot of fun at Media Day as well. It was a fun time. I always enjoy myself at Media Day because, again, you just don't get to see these guys behind a podium just, you know, and having questions fired at them. You get to sit down with them, and it's more of a personal connection. So, yeah, we'll definitely get to those bites in just a sec. But, hey, as you mentioned in our quick hit headliner to start off the show, interesting stuff, because I think this story, Alex, really changes now the entire context of our conversation that we had yesterday, knowing what we know today, and that being Kenny Kaminsky, now former MSU men's basketball player. It was released right after Media Day. I remember checking my email. I came back to my office here at WKAR. It was around 4:30, 4:40, something like that, and I checked my email. I got an email from Matt Larson, who was the SID for the men's basketball team, and that email encompassed a statement from Tom Izzo, which you just read in our Quick Hit Headliners. It went on to say, quote, Michigan State men's basketball head coach Tom Izzo announced that Kenny Kaminsky has been dismissed from the team. Now, yesterday, just to put this in context for all of our listeners out there, we had this discussion on the show yesterday. Yesterday, we had talked about Kenny being leaving the team due to Kenny's tweet, in which he tweeted out that he will no longer be playing for the MSU men's basketball team. He didn't allude to the fact that, you know, Tom Izzo basically kicked him off the team. We were talking just based on a tweet that maybe this was a personal decision for Kenny Kaminsky himself to say, okay, I want to leave the team on my own terms. I want to go somewhere else because I don't feel as though I fit here. But that wasn't the case. Tom Izzo right here dismissed him. That's what happened here. It was all in the hands of Tom Izzo. Tom Izzo said, hey, I don't want you to be part of the program. You're not really exemplifying what a Spartan should be. And this is a direct quote from Tom Izzo. Just to read it really quick, Alex. Tom Izzo went on to say, quote, despite multiple opportunities, Kenny Kaminsky could not live up to the obligations necessary to be a part of our program. Being a Spartan is a special opportunity, and at Michigan State, we do everything we can to provide an amazing experience for our student athletes. With that privilege also comes a responsibility to conduct oneself in a certain manner. After he repeatedly failed to meet the necessary obligations, it became apparent that it was time to dismiss Kenny from the program, end quote. So, again, Alex, this totally changes the dynamic and just the whole just aura of our conversation yesterday. Because, again, Kenny coming out and tweeting over the weekend that I will not be a part of the MSU. I will not be a part of the MSU men's basketball program next season. We didn't know the details of this whole thing. With a tweet like that, I kind of assumed that maybe Kenny just kind of removed himself and said that, hey, he wanted to transfer. But that's not the case here. Tom Izzo said, I don't want you a part of the team, and now you are forced to find somewhere else to play. And, you know, just first, what were your initial reactions upon hearing this statement from Tom?
Yeah, it's disheartening. And the fact that last year Izzo would come out and talk about some of the struggles and him not meeting academic standards, and he wouldn't really go into details about off-the-court issues, but you knew they were lingering. So, yeah, it's disheartening. And especially, it's surprising that now it comes out opposed to during the season when you have this off time to kind of repair yourself and take time for yourself. It's the off season. I'm sure Kenny has a lot of time now to focus on his goals and priorities. And that's what's most surprising to me. It's not like it's during the season where, you know, he's busy. Unless for some reason they waited to announce this. But I don't think that's the case. So, I mean, this isn't no Cassante York thing where there's a police investigation, but I'm sure it had to do a lot academically, a lot maybe attitude-wise. That's my best guess.
Yeah, it comes down to one word when you look at this whole thing, and that word being character. Kenny Comiskey did not prove to Tom Izzo, and I assume his teammates as well, that, you know, his character was where it needed to be a part of this program and to be a regular contributor to this program. And we've seen it before. I talked the other day, yesterday, about, you know, Tom Izzo coming into the podium one game, I remember, and he talked about Kenny Comiskey when he got suspended. And he's like, you know, Kenny needs to grow up. Kenny just needs to grow up. He's not where, you know, basically saying that Kenny's maturity is not there yet. And, you know, it was a really alarming thing that just Tom just got really, really frustrated. And at the end of the day, I mean, you only got so many strikes with Tom. You know, either you shape up and you show some form of change and some form of willingness that you want to change, or, hey, it's a wrap. It's simply a wrap. I mean, Tom Izzo's not going to baby you here. There's only so much babying you can do. College is a time and an atmosphere where you mature as a human being, as a young man or a young woman. And, you know, you evolve into that person of responsibility and accountability that you are supposed to. And Tom Izzo is a no-nonsense type of guy. Kenny, from looking at this statement and looking at this entire situation, he just wasn't on the ball. And, you know, and to speak about the specifics as to why he was suspended on certain games, I mean, Tom is a guy, and this is what I love about Tom Izzo, Alex. Tom Izzo is a guy who's not going to beat around the bush with you. Tom Izzo, especially with us media members, if you ask Tom Izzo a question, he's going to answer it as honestly and to the best of his ability that he can. I love Tom because sometimes I will go into a press conference and, well, you know, you'll talk about a sticky subject. I'll go back to the Derrick Nix situation when Derrick Nix got suspended for, you know, the whole marijuana ordeal. And I remember, you know, Tom Izzo was asked about it and he was just completely honest, straightforward with you. Normally, you know, in a situation like that, talking to a coach maybe at a different school or something like that, you would get a sort of a cliche type of answer from a coach. But Tom always keeps it 100. And with the situation with Kenny, he alluded to the fact that Kenny wasn't handling his business in the classroom, if you look at it. Because I remember, you know, if you look at it, there's a direct quote from Joe Rexroad in the Free Press where Joe goes back and pulls a quote from Tom talking about Kenny. And he talks about, and he asks, you know, there's a question in the article where it talks about whether or not Kenny was on the verge of possibly being ineligible academic-wise. And Tom Izzo answers the question in Tom Izzo honest fashion. And he says, well, no, you know, he's not on the verge of being ineligible academic-wise, but there's other areas that he is just not handling his business in, which you can read between the lines in that. And what I got from it, when a lot of the media members got it from it, talking to a few of them yesterday when this story broke and when we got this email, was that Kenny just, I don't know, I think he just wasn't going to class, you know? I just think he was just not just handling his business in the classroom by simply not showing up to class. And Kenny talked about how he needed to get better at that. But he would talk a good game, and obviously he just wasn't doing that.
Yeah, and going back to the Derrick Nix ordeal, I'm glad you brought that up because this was a criminal charge. You know, the marijuana charge was something that...
Right, that's a more serious...
It was a more serious, and he was given a second chance. So for Kenny Comiskey to be giving multiple opportunities academically, opposed to comparing to a Derrick Nix criminal charge, which he was given another opportunity, very different. I mean, Nix was, you know, was reckless driving, you know, driving impaired. So way different of a situation. And to me, it had to have been pretty darn bad, Al, for Comiskey to be dismissed like this. I mean, not just going to class, but I imagine maybe getting in a fight with coaches about it. I imagine a little bit more than that, because if you're not going to class and maybe if you're not fixing it, that's one issue.
Right.
But I think that it was a little bit more here.
Yeah, it probably was. And I, like I said, I'm only speaking on what we kind of know in the situation. It probably was some other stuff going. It had to be, obviously, because there has to be another added dimension of turmoil and disagreement for you to just completely dismiss one of the, if not the best shooter on this MSU men's basketball team for this upcoming year now. So you know, there was something else certainly going on here. What it was, we don't know. Maybe Tom Izzo will allude to it after the situation is kind of, after the dust settles, if you will, and the season goes on and whatnot, and Kenny's officially, you know, off campus and gone from the team. We won't know, but we know that Kenny has some character issues. It seems as though he was not willing to change those character issues, and now he is searching for a school to play with for the upcoming season. And you bring up the Derrick Nix fact. You know, it's such an interesting dynamic with that, because that situation, like we said, was so much more serious. I mean, you're dealing with drugs and you're dealing with the law there, you know, and it's a situation like that that really can be a in-your-face wake-up moment for you, because you're dealing with legal, not just team, you know, handing down a punishment, not just your team handing down a punishment, but you're talking about the law handing down a punishment. So a situation like that can really scare you, to be honest, and say, okay, this is serious and I really need to make a chance. And I think that's exactly what happened to Derrick Nix back during his time. A situation like that happened to him where it's like, okay, I'm dealing with the law here. I need to wake up and make some changes in my life. With Kenny, you know, maybe it was just more so academics, and he thought it maybe was minuscule and it was easy to turn around. You're not dealing with, you know, potentially being behind bars in this situation. You're dealing with not playing, you know, the game that you love and the game that got you a scholarship at a Big Ten university here, which is totally different, a different dynamic than Derrick Nix's situation. So, man, Kenny didn't take it serious, obviously. He didn't take it serious and felt as though, you know, it wasn't a big thing, but in Tom Izzo's eyes, it certainly was. So, hey, folks, I want you guys to weigh in on this. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Give your thoughts on Kenny Kaminsky being dismissed from the MSU men's basketball team, and how in the world do you think this will hurt the MSU men's basketball team moving forward now? Because, again, they are missing now some shooting on this squad. Kenny Kaminsky was going to be one of those guys next year that was going to bring, definitely be, the top shooter on this team. He led the MSU men's basketball team in three-point field goal percentage. Definitely a sharp shooting guy, and now they will be missing that piece. So curious to get your thoughts. You can also tweet us at Al Martin, WKAR, and go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Well, we're just getting warmed up here on the show. When we come back, we'll discuss all things Media Day. That's right. Current Sports was down at MSU Media Day down at Spartan Stadium, and you'll get to hear from Coach D and some of the players on their thoughts approaching this upcoming MSU football season. Do not touch that dial. Current Sports returns in just a sec.
Guess it's true, I'm not good at a one-night stand, but I still need love cause I'm just a man.
Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Well, Alex and I took a trip out to Media Day yesterday. Always a fun time each and every year going to Media Day. And this year certainly has a buzz that is a little different from other years, just for the simple fact, looking at the success that this MSU football team had last year was truly remarkable, going all the way to California, Pasadena, and playing at the Rose Bowl. Not only just getting there, but proving that they belong, getting a big win over Stanford, solidifying their place as one of the best programs in the nation. Right now in the preseason coaches poll, Michigan State is ranked eighth. Yes, eighth in the nation. That is the highest this program has ever been ranked throughout the history of the preseason coaches poll, which since it was enacted in 1991. So there is certainly a buzz and a target on this team that is unlike any year in the Mark D'Antonio era. And it was interesting to pick the brains of guys like Connor Cook, Keith Mumphrey, quarterbacks position coach Brad Salem, Shalit Calhoun, all of those guys on just how they are dealing with the expectations and that target. But hey, they still feel as though they are searching for respect, and you better believe that those goals are at an all-time high now, and they are kind of thinking about national championships. So we're going to play some bites from MSU Media Day. You're going to get to hear first from Mark D'Antonio, then quarterback Connor Cook, then Keith Mumphrey, quarterback and positions coach Brad Salem, and, of course, outstanding defensive lineman Shalit Calhoun. So here they are, starting with Mark.
Number one is something we talked about continually: handling success. It's something that I think comes with, you know, going to the Capital One Bowl in 2008. You need to try and build on those things. Something with in 2007 going to a bowl game at that point in time. So you're always trying to, I think, build on the things you've been able to accomplish, and we're trying to do that. We've got to handle success. That's been one of the, I guess, main focuses or topics here. So I think I'm answering that question.
Yep.
What about the second one? Second one, we talk about the national championship. We're going to dream big. You know, what's been established is that we've been to the Rose Bowl and we won the Rose Bowl and won the Big Ten Championship. That's been established. What can we do beyond that remains to be seen. And, you know, you always want to dream big. You always want to go farther than you did before. I think that's human nature. You know, when you've been able to, you know, run a four-minute mile, they want to break that down. You know, when you're able to go to the moon, they want to go farther. That's just the innate, you know, that's natural, I think, for people. So, yeah, we talked about it once. But, again, I go back to keep things in check, concentrate on what you have to do, and then move forward. One thing at a time, because if we don't do things one game at a time, we have no chance, none, of getting back to where we have a springboard to go farther. What we can do is we can get to the end of the pool. Now can we get on the diving board, I guess.
You know, he talks to us about that a lot, you know, handling success and whatnot, but, you know, I think we kind of dealt with that last year a little bit. You know, we kind of had a target on our back later in the year, and I think we handled that well. So, you know, we're turning a lot of guys this year, a lot of guys that played last year, guys that have experience. And, you know, we're not going to let that affect us. We're just going to focus on, you know, what we can control, and that's winning every single week.
The only way you can duplicate that type of success is to just basically go out each and every day and to practice as if we haven't won anything and to practice as if we know what our goals are.
When you talk about that, you know, this season now, I mean, that's definitely a target on you guys' back. You're number 8 in the coaches' poll, the first time that's happened since they've enacted the coaches' poll in 1991. I mean, you're Rose Bowl champions. There's a lot of buzz around this team. So are you all embracing the target on the back?
Oh, yeah, we're embracing it. We know that we got to go out and compete each and every day. But we, at the same time, we can't really think about being number 8. We just got to think about Jacksonville State and think about that first game and then the second game, third game, and so far on.
I think so. You know, I mean, I look at our guys in this, at least offensively speaking, pretty mature. You know, guys that have all, they went through this experience last year and sort of been in the underdog role, and they like that, those type of things. But I think maybe they look at it as, hey, this is, it's a neat opportunity. It's an honor to be ranked that, but you need to defend it. The preseason poll means nothing.
Right.
You know, and I think they truly understand that and believe it.
How do you duplicate that type of success you guys had last year?
I think the biggest thing is just being consistent. You know, I mean, you have to stay healthy. Your playmakers got to make plays. You know, and I think as long as they understand that they're here each day trying to improve, you know, you look at the ceiling of some of these guys in here, it's pretty high.
Yeah.
So, but the thing is, I think this is a group of young men that they just really aren't satisfied. And that's what's exciting about coaching.
You know, something that was so interesting is, you know, D'Antonio took the podium a minute ago and talked about dreaming big. Naturally, when you get the taste of winning a Rose Bowl championship, I mean, expectations now are, you know, sky's the limit. How much do you guys talk about the national championship, if at all?
Well, I think you have to talk about it because just like he states, you do need to dream big. And I think that's one of the things, if you don't talk about your goals and aspirations, I mean, we've had Rose Bowl logos on the side, you know, wall in the outdoor field, and it's all over the place, you know, and we've been talking about Rose Bowl, and it's a process, you know, but obviously to experience it, the other thing is I think guys want to go back, you know, they want to make it to that, you know, that opportunity again this fall, and some of them know it's their senior year now, so this is their last opportunity, so it's a big deal.
How much, if at all, have you guys talked about national championship?
We haven't talked about it a lot. We talked about it. We more focused on Big Ten championship because we know we win the Big Ten championships, it put us in a good position to get in the playoff system.
Yeah.
We get the playoff system to put us in a good position to win a national championship. So we just talk. We start from right there. I mean, it's steps to it. So we don't just try to jump to the national championship. I mean, that's something we want to do. I'm not gonna say it's not. But we're going to just keep it one game at a time, take care of what we can take care of, which that is the Big Ten, to do the best of our ability to win every game and see if everything falls in place for us.
You ever think, what if, you know, what if the playoff system had started last year? You probably, you know, might have been playing for a national championship. You ever think about that? You ever cross your mind?
I haven't.
You haven't?
I thought about if we wouldn't have lost another game.
Mm-hmm.
I thought about that. I haven't really thought about if the playoff system, because I didn't know if it was going to be this year until, like, I don't remember, but
right.
I never really thought about that one. I actually thought about we wouldn't have lost Notre Dame and we would have been probably in the championship, so that's all I really thought about.
Shalik, you guys thrive on the whole, you know, chip on your shoulder. You know, it's kind of different this year, you know, being Rose Bowl champions. Where do you find that chip, and do you guys feel as though that the Spartans are still searching for respect?
Al, I just want to say you're a clean cut guy, man. I love your look.
I try.
You do it well, man.
Thank you.
But yeah, no, we definitely still have that chip on our shoulder. A lot of us don't like to, you know, dabble in, like, you know, critic talk, but we have seen the polls, and basically we're about the 6th percentile of winning the Big Ten championship. So the, you know, the chip is still there. You know, we still want to earn respect nationally, and obviously we still need to earn respect in the Big Ten. So, you know, we'll always have that chip on our shoulder, and that's how, you know, Coach D just, that's how he brought this program together. You know, that's the type of person he is. Always had that chip on his shoulder. Always feels as if he needs to prove something to someone. So, you know, we're out to prove to the world that, you know, we can do what we, you know, play Spartan football.
I tell you, Shalik Calhoun talking about my neon teal blue shirt. It was looking kind of fly yesterday, I must say, Alex, but Shalik is a fly guy. Hey, that you just heard from Mark D'Antonio, Connor Cook, Keith Mumphrey, Brad Salem, and Shalik Calhoun on their mindset, if you will, now approaching this upcoming season, which is, my goodness, I can't believe it's less than 20 days away. Can you believe that? College football is right around the corner, folks. But really what stuck out to me when you look at this whole, looking at Media Day and looking at, you know, the comments made from D'Antonio, again, what you just heard, a small sample size from D'Antonio and everything, it was just really interesting because when you look at the dynamic, I mean, they now have an expectation that this team, you know, could either, you know, I always say pressure either makes diamonds or busts pipes. And that's where that's the mindset this team has right now. And they seem to be, you know, at least just by, again, it's just talking to him in a roundtable interview and just talking to D'Antonio up on the podium during one media day. But they seem very cool, calm, collected, and focused when you talk about the expectations that they are now dealing with. Another guy that really stood out to me, you know, more so than pretty much anybody, happened to be Connor Cook, because Connor Cook is a guy, going back, rewinding time, back to the whole quarterback controversy that we had at the beginning of last year. You know, Michigan State didn't know who his quarterback was going to be. There was a four-man horse race to see who would be that guy. We remember multiple times, you know, more than one quarterback coming in the game to see, you know, who D'Antonio wanted to go with. Connor Cook, of course, ended up emerging as that guy and went on to have a great season and, you know, been a huge contributor in that Rose Bowl and really played a great, great game. You know, and there were a few mistakes, though, that, you know, could have turned out to be definitely big uh-ohs during that game. But, hey, nonetheless. Less, you know, all that matters is the W. And Connor Cook now, you know, having that solidified role, being that number one guy, having no doubt who your man is. And when you talk about that guy behind center, you could almost sense, talking with Connor yesterday, a sense of just cool, calm collectiveness in knowing that he is the guy and knowing that, you know, he has to be a leader for this team. And he seems much more comfortable talking with the media, talking with other players about Connor. They seem as though he is just kind of emerging into that role as quarterback and as leader of that team very, very easily. And even Brad Salem, quarterback's coach, I mean, he talked about how Connor is kind of just maturing, you know, day after day after day and workout after workout after workout with this squad now. So I'm excited to see the things that, you know, Cook has improved on in the offseason. I'm excited to see how he deals with success and to see how, you know, the guys rally around him as that guy. Again, folks, we encourage you to call in and give your thoughts on what are your concerns for this upcoming year for the MSU football team, and you know, how do you think they will handle the pressure of being a defending Rose Bowl champions? We actually have a caller right now. Mike from Saginaw is on line one. Mike, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Before I talk about Media Day, I want to, just since this is Election Day, I want to thank all the taxpaying voters in Wayne County who voted for the stadiums for the professional sports teams down there. Don't you know that the taxpayers here, the teams in Detroit have never threatened to move or whatever. Mm. So I thank them for this. Now, I want to talk about the football media day, too.
Yeah.
When D'Antonio talked about, did he really talk about his skill positions, the running backs, receivers, defensive backs, and quarters? Because what made the team great last year, that they had a great running game, also had good solid corners.
Yeah, yeah, he definitely addressed certain areas on the team. You know, areas like tight end and his receivers and Cook again. Talking about Connor, he really harped on Connor Cook. Coming in this season as the guy, and there are a few areas on this team where he's definitely going to see especially battling for that backup position at quarterback. Who's going to be that guy? He's very confident in the receiving quarter he has this year, and guys like Tony Lippett. He believes that their production, especially the way that they started to click last year, will kind of bleed over into this season. And, he believes that, Jeremy Langford is going to have a great year as well and only get better this season. So he definitely addressed the needs from position. And he believes his defense has the potential to be better than last year's defense, too. We all know that MSU had the number one defense in the nation last year. And even Narduzzi talked about that. He believes this defense is definitely very, very talented and that they really lost, they lost some key pieces, especially, and guys like Max Bulla and you had Darquez Denard is the top corner in the entire nation, but they're missing some pieces. But it's really a factory of guys who can just step in into that new role this season, and they will be they feel as though they won't even miss a beat this year on the defensive end, Mike.
What I was going to tell you too, that since MSU, if they done with the new rock locker room additions, and they done with proven Spartan Stadium for the workout facilities and the practice facilities. Is that done now?
It is almost done. It will be ready by the end of the month in time for the very first kickoff. But, yeah, I don't know if you've seen pictures, but you can go to the MSU football Twitter page right now and even the website, and they have pictures up. D'Antonio, I don't know if you follow Mark D'Antonio on Twitter at all, but he shot a lot of pictures of the locker room, of the facilities, of the North End Zone project that's going on right now, and it looks just about done. Mike, it's just got a few tweaks here and there, to solidify, but it's pretty much finished, and they're just fine tuning and solidifying that right now, and it's going to be gorgeous by the time that first game rolls around against Jacksonville State.
So here's my last question, and I'll let you talk to other callers here. What do you think about the Maryland coach and the Rutgers coach? And I'll take it off the air and think.
As far as in what regard?
Yeah, and about being competitive in their first season in the Big
Ten. Yeah, yeah, I think it's exciting. I tell you that because, and thanks a lot, Mike, for your call. I appreciate it. You can call in just like Mike just did, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. I personally, Alex, I'm very excited for the additions of Maryland and Rutgers now. It really, the Big Ten, and we talk about college sports in general, especially college football, it's a business, and it's about growing that brand. When you add the addition of two teams in Maryland and Rutgers, they bring a lot to the table. I'm curious to see how, their success will transcend in the Big Ten, and to see how competitive those two teams are. I think, anytime a new school enters, a new division, I always go back to this is a totally different level of college football. We talk about the SEC, which is arguably the best conference in college football, but Missouri, and when they first entered the SEC, there was a lot of expectations for them on whether or not they could hang with the big dogs and play with the rest of the squad in the SEC. So I think they do have a little bit of pressure in that regard, being the new kids on the block entering the Big Ten. And it's going to be interesting to see how competitive they are. And I feel as though just having Maryland and Rutgers, not even on a success discussion here, just having those two in sort of expands the brand of the Big Ten and puts the Big Ten even more so on a map now.
Yeah, and the big question for me is, which team's going to perform better with football? Rutgers with some new coaching changes, Maryland typically, who produces some pretty decent pro talent, they lose some key personnel as well. And, you had Scott Van Pelt earlier on the year saying that Maryland fans need to come to football games more. Mm-hmm. So that's a big issue too. But yeah, no, very excited for Maryland Rutgers. Excited to see with basketball, especially with what we've seen with Rutgers basketball in the past.
Right.
That's going to be interesting. So, I think that Maryland ideally will be the bigger addition.
Yeah, what Rutgers, wasn't that Mark Rice?
Mike Rice.
Who just went off and just throwing chairs,
yep,
and hitting players. And, yeah, craziness. But, yeah, that's going to be interesting as well. But I just think, this is definitely a political move. And you talk about the, SVP going off and saying, hey, you guys need to come to games, at Maryland. I definitely remember that rant. And, it's alarming because, hey, they knew they need to make a move to spark some interest in their program. And making a move now to the Big Ten hopefully will do that. It's all about the Benjamins when you talk about new teams entering a new conference.
It is. Look, Big Ten looking to expand. They're not going to steal some of the bigger Big East or, you know, bigger East programs. Maryland and Rutgers, both subpar, maybe not subpar, maybe average athletic programs. Rutgers very good in some smaller sports, but, you know, not ideally the best teams from the East and the Big Ten, but that's what you get as the trade-off if you're getting those teams to leave their existing conferences, looking to bolster their athletic prestige. So it makes sense in that aspect.
Yeah, definitely. Now, going back to Media Day, Alex, just really quickly, our big takeaways from it. You know, I really enjoyed, and it never ceases to amaze me just how comfortable Shalit Calhoun is and how camera friendly he is. I mean, his personality is just especially from an athlete, because I come in contact with a lot of college athletes who are just, they give you the cliche answers. They're not really enthusiastic or very animated when they talk, and it's kind of a ho-hum interview. And we saw a little bit of that yesterday as well. But with Shalik, I mean, he just embraces it. He cracks jokes here and there. It was a fun time. You got a shot of actually, who was it? I think it was Curtis Drummond interviewing Shalik. You know, and he just has fun. I love Shalik, man. That was one of my favorite moments of yesterday's media day. And also, you know, asking these guys now, when you win a Rose Bowl, naturally, you start to a bit, you know, you foam at the mouth a bit because you're like, okay, we want a Rose Bowl. We want to get back to that point. And, you know, ideally you want to experience greater success than that.
Right.
And that greater success now being after you win a Rose Bowl is now the national championship. You know, now with the playoff now opening doors for everybody to really compete for this thing. And I definitely wanted to talk to them about how they, and even if at all, they talk about winning a national championship. And you saw just a kind of a plethora of answers. And even from D'Antonio, you just heard him. He talks about dreaming big, you know, going for the gusto, no holds bar. Yes, they definitely talk about it, but it's also a perspective that you have to crawl before you can walk, and you have to walk before you can run, and so on and so forth. Hey, they want to win the Big Ten championship first and then worry about all of that, because winning the Big Ten championship allows those floodgates of national championship talks to even ensue.
Yeah, it's a honeymoon phase. You know, right after you win the Rose Bowl, you get your first 5 months, 4 months, you're enjoying it. So, you know, after when the season starts, you know, like they said, they've thought about national championship, but the still focus is to get back to the Big Ten championship because of the target on their back. What I got out of it really was, and this really wasn't talked about as much, Al, but MSU has been said by other schools to have a very easy schedule in their run last year. They thought that with all the big games at home, with Wisconsin and Ohio State, that was an easy schedule. Now, you know, they're going away to some big programs. It's going to be a little bit tougher. The target is just showing that they can win on the road. And I think that's the bigger goal for me, personally, as someone who's watched the team, compared to what they're probably imagining at this point, because, hey, they haven't played in some tough stadiums together as a team, as this Rose Bowl team yet, Al.
Yeah, but even with I think that whole easy schedule crap is just crap to me.
You don't think that playing at Ohio State matters and Michigan away?
I think that, you know, I believe when you look at for those who say that MSU had a, because you're saying that there was a lot of people out there who said that MSU had a lollipop schedule,
right? And that helped their ranking.
They beat the teams they needed to beat in order to even get to those talks of playing a Stanford. The fact that they went on to play a team like Stanford and were able to beat them and show that they belong, all of that kind of, don't you think all of that just kind of goes out the window? After you go and beat a team like Stanford, who's definitely been to a Rose Bowl before, and you beat that team, that proves and validates you being there in the first place. You know, I think all that crap goes out the window, don't you?
It does in a way, but at the same time this year, you know, the goal is, you know, when they're at Michigan, showing that they can win at Michigan.
Yeah, I don't care where, but still, Michigan, they not only beat Michigan at home, they dominated them, Alex. It was convincing. It wasn't like it was close, and, you know, if they would have played at the Big House, this could have went either way. No, it was like head above heels. Michigan State was the better team. Negative 48 rushing yards. Negative 48. I mean, come on. That says it all right there. So even looking at a game like that, I mean, I don't think you can even make that argument as well. But I think MSU, they showed that they belong. They showed that they were the best, and they had, you know, the no-fly zone. They statistically, they were the best defense in the entire nation, and they showed that they belonged, man. I think that argument kind of goes out the window. Now, Again, duplicating that success, just like Keith Mumphrey just said, duplicating that success is now the challenge. And, of course, you got to give the cliche answer. You got to take baby steps to get there. So, but, yeah, definitely a fun time out at Media Day, though. Again, if you want to weigh in on it, just like Mike just did, Mike's definitely a regular. We thank Mike for calling in. That number is 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. And some breaking news here, Alex. I'm on Twitter. You know, I'm always on Twitter scrolling around, looking at, you know, the hottest headlines for the day. And there is some breaking news. How about this? And this is just really a testament to how far, how far women have come in the world of sports, especially in mainstream male sports as well. The San Antonio Spurs have just hired Becky Hammon as an assistant coach, making her the NBA's first female coach. How about that? That's great stuff. I love hearing stuff like that. Becky Hammon, I mean, she is a famed WNBA player, had an outstanding college career, and the San Antonio Spurs have hired her as an assistant coach, making her the NBA's first female coach. How about that news, huh?
Setting the trend. You know, San Antonio Spurs, with their legacy, you know, being a program like this to come out and hire, you know, the first woman's coach, setting a trend, Al.
Yeah, and that you know, Greg Popp, man, he always has something up his sleeve, and you know, it's going to be interesting to see what type of success she now has as her career in coaching now, you know, keeps going forward. I think eventually, you know, we're not far away from seeing, I think, a female being a head coach in the NBA. I don't think that's too far, especially with this door now opening.
I don't know.
I say give it 10 years. Give it 10 years, man. To 10 years.
A good barbershop tomorrow, would you play under a woman head coach?
Why not? What kind of question? Of course. If she is, it's not about if it's a woman or a male. It's about if they can do the job, man. If they have their credentials and they know what they're doing, why not? That's not even a question about that.
It's not about being a man or a woman. It's a different league. The WNBA is a much different league shooting-wise.
And being a male or female has nothing to do with the dynamics
of
that.
Of course it
doesn't. If that person knows the game, whether they be male or female, it doesn't matter. If she knows what she's doing, if she has her credentials, if she is a mastermind of the game, hey, of course I'm playing for you. I don't care. I don't care if you're a man or a woman. That's ridiculous.
Well, if it was this simple, why did it take this long?
It is because of politics. You know, the way women are perceived in sports is still an ongoing, evolving discussion and an ongoing evolving perception. And there are many people out there. There are a lot of ignorant people out there that feel as though women, you know, they feel as though women don't know sports. And that to me is just ridiculous. It's the most idiotic notion out there. And this right here is showing the strides that females are constantly making in the world of sports, not just playing wise, but in the coaching ranks as well. You got a lot of ignorant people out there, plain and simple.
All right. Well, I still think that regardless if it's man or woman, It's just a totally different league. Out, she has no idea what it's actually like playing in a men's basketball game.
But there are many NBA coaches, and not even just in NBA, but just in pro sports.
They have no
period,
playing experience. That
have
I get that.
Exactly.
I get that.
They have never picked up a basketball. You know what I mean? It's like they're out there,
not
geniuses.
They picked out a basketball.
But you know what I mean? I'm being sarcastic. But at the end of the day, they know the game. They know the game of basketball. You don't have to play the game to know the game. I think you and I being on this show are perfect examples of that. I'm not an NBA.
Sure.
I've never played pro sports in my life.
But both of us have actually played basketball before.
Yeah, but still, I think we've never been on that type of level. You talk about
sure.
that level of pro sports. But we still have educated points of view just because we watch it all the time. We live, eat, breathe, and talk sports each and every day. And we know the game in that regard. You don't have to play the game to know the game. And, you know, I think it's great for Becky. Becky now is a trendsetter. She is a pioneer for women in coaching in male sports now. And I'm very excited to see the type of success that she has with the outstanding, one of my favorite franchises in all of sports, the San Antonio Spurs. So, Alex, you want to hit the second break here? Let's do it. Let's hit the break. When we come back, we'll talk about the Tigers. We'll talk a little Keith Appling and Andre Drummond, and also Tony Bosch to plead guilty. How about that? Don't go anywhere. Current sports returns in the blink of an eye.
We're 1,000 miles from comfort. We have tried.
All right, welcome back to Current Sports on this Tuesday. Alex Shar calls it Top 40 Tuesday as he plays some of the hottest music in the land. And, you know, it's always a fun time to see, you know, keep you updated, keep your iPod updated with the hottest mixes as you're cruising around Lansing. Gotta love that. Happy Election Day, as Mike just talked about, too. There are a lot of people hitting the polls today and putting in their votes for people like, you know, Terry Lynn Land and, you know, so on and so forth. I've seen the election commercials throughout my television day in and day out. So a big day, big election day here. Go out and express that right to vote. It's big. It's important.
Yeah. No, I got a roommate working actually under a rep for his campaign. So
nice.
Yeah, back in the Metro Detroit area. So yeah, and he's been telling me it's just a really long day.
I mean, bet.
12 to 12.
Right.
If not longer.
I can only imagine. I was talking at my former internship at Home TV, and they're having their election day coverage, and it's just a full day of coverage over there. So, but yeah, go out and get out there and vote, folks. You know, after work, I'm pretty sure many of you did it before work, on your lunch break, but go out there and express that right. It is so, so important. Well, an exciting time tonight, Alex, as the Yankees and Tigers, of course, last night for the Tigers, man, they just kind of, you know, looking at last night's game. I don't know if you saw it. I there's many people that saw it. Oh, yeah, you're already shaking your head. Ezekiel Carrera's catch. That was one of the best plays of the year,
man.
They're
calling it great catch of the year.
It was watching it, I'm sitting there like, okay, that's going to be at least a single, maybe a double. It's going to hit the grass. He just takes off in center field as soon as it's tagged and lays all out, dives. What a catch from Ezekiel Carrera. It was the highlight. It was funny because they go to a shot of DJ, Derek Jeter, after that, and he's just like, wow. You know, you can read his lips. He's just like, wow, that was unbelievable. That was the highlight. Unfortunately, the Tigers end up losing that game, though. 2-1, Brandon McCarthy. He just kind of continues his I don't want to say dominance, but his great outings against the Tigers. You know, he had some heat, you know, and I think I may have jinxed Miggy yesterday's show. Miggy was he went hitless. He went hitless for only the seventh time in 47 career starts at Yankee Stadium. And I went on yesterday a big rant about Miggy having, you know, he loves playing in the Bronx. He loves New York, and he just kind of went ghost. And Brandon McCarthy, don't get me wrong, Brandon McCarthy, he was outstanding. I mean, he had mid-90s heaters, you know, throughout that entire game. He was great. And, you know, if you look at, you know, when you look at this game, again, it was 2-1. Max Scherzer, he struggled early. He kind of rediscovered his command, made just enough pitches to keep the Tigers close. And, you know, he definitely marveled at that defense behind him, because they certainly, you know, guys like Carrera, they certainly saved. And even Ian Kinsler, he definitely scurried to stop a slick double play in the fifth. I mean, he definitely showed up for him, too. I mean, just imagine if those two plays didn't happen. I mean, this game certainly could have blew up. So great defense from the Tigers, and Max Scherzer kind of, you know, salvaging, you know, his start late in the game. Put the Tigers in position to sort of make some noise and possibly, you know, take the lead. That's the thing, and I've always said this, Alex. The Tigers' bats are so inconsistent. They just kind of went ghost on you. The only guy who really had a great game for the Tigers out of that lineup happened to be V-Mart, who went 2-for-4, hit the ball hard. It really had every bat. And, you know, a shift robbed him at third of a third hit, actually. But, hey, he was great. V-Mart has been great this entire season, but they did not get, you know, the hitting that they needed. And even look at the bullpen. We've harped on the bullpen of how inconsistent they've been. The bullpen was pretty solid last night, Alex. Phil Colt came in after Max, and he pitched a 1-2 eighth inning to give the Tigers a chance in the ninth, but they could not pull through. So it was kind of a weird dynamic in that game.
Yeah, first about the Carrera catch, not only was it a full extension dive, but it was over the shoulder.
It's nice.
Which for someone like myself who has played center field in the past and in Little League baseball, over the shoulder is one of the hardest balls to judge.
Yeah, it was a sexy catch.
And, I mean, if you're diving forward, I mean, you have a lot better of a read on it. But over the shoulder, man, there's nothing as hard as an over the shoulder running dive in center field. That's a tough play.
Yeah, it was great.
So good for him. Also, another star of that game, although they lost, that we didn't really talk about was how about the defense from Ian Kinsler?
Yeah, that's amazing.
I mean,
all the
diving stops he made last night.
Yeah, he was great.
Probably saved about 6 runs. I mean, those were all at bases loaded, too.
That double play in the fifth, that was sexy.
Yeah, but you're right. The pitching and the hitting was not gelling. And, you know, game one, it's early. You know, we had that nice sweep of the Rockies over the weekend. But you're right. I mean, it was a concern, the fact that the pitching was there and the hitting couldn't match up.
Just was not
and
there.
Especially in a hitting park like New York Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the thing, man. I mean, those bats, they just kind of go they go like this, Alex. Yeah, you hear that? Just silent. Just what's going on here? So hopefully they rebound. I'm excited about tonight. David Price, the man that everyone in the world of baseball has been talking about with this big blockbuster trade that happened right on the edge of that waiver deadline on July 31st, acquired the big acquisition from the Tampa Bay Rays. David Price will make his debut tonight.
What do you think, Al? How far does he go?
I think,
how many innings?
I think he goes to about the sixth.
Yeah.
I think he goes to the sixth inning. You know, pitches a solid game. And I think the Tigers get the win tonight. I think those bats wake up. I think Miggy, I'm certainly, is chomping at the bit to get back at it. I think he has an outstanding outing. I think the Tigers do rebound and get a W tonight. And I think there's validation in this move in David Price, and he's going to show it tonight, I think. It's going to be exciting, man. I just hope that the bullpen doesn't – I always say the Tigers are the best six-inning team in baseball because you never know what you get with that bullpen. Last night, hey, hats off to Cote. Phil Cote, you were great last night, my man. Hopefully they can duplicate that type of effort from the bullpen once Price comes out the game. But I think the Tigers rebound today.
Very good. Well, you know what? The thing about Miggy coming back is not only does he have the seven hitless games against the Yankees, but just a hitless game in general.
That's weird.
For Miguel Cabrera is strange.
It doesn't happen. Yeah. And, you know, it kind of, and I don't want to maybe knock on wood after I say this, but it kind of just kind of makes me question whether or not Miggy is 100%. You know, because
really?
If you remember at the All-Star break, when Miggy was asked, I always go back to this too, Miggy was asked about whether he was 100% healthy, and he's like, you know, he was asked by a Spanish reporter whether he was healthy, and he was like, you know, I'm about, you know, 80%. He didn't say he was 100%, you know, he said he still had something lingering. And then moments after that, when the news, you know, breaks out that he's not 100%, they asked him again later on during the All-Star break. And he's like, oh, no, I'm fine. I'm healthy. So I don't know. I question whether or not Miggy is 100% right now, Alex. I don't know. And maybe knock on wood, maybe he's fine. I'm just kind of just throwing it out there.
And
you
we
know?
Saw what happened, you know, with Keith Appling, him not being healthy throughout the season, him not talking about it. Maybe a similar case. You're right.
Yeah, maybe. So we'll definitely see. It's going to be an exciting game, though. Again, that game is around, what is it, 7 o'clock game tonight? And Tigers game, too. They try to, you know, tie things with the Yankees now, and hopefully they can do that. All right, really quickly, a little less than 2 minutes left. Do you think that Keith Appling is going to make a roster here? He signed with the Lakers for a camp deal. It's not like he's on the roster here. Mm-hmm. This is a camp deal with the LA Lakers. We'll dive into this, you know, to start the show tomorrow, Alex, but do you think he's going to make a roster?
I don't think he will. But the hardest part about it, Al, is just we haven't seen him play 100%.
Mm-hmm.
We, you know, no one here at Michigan State has seen what Keith Appling can do when he's 100%. Entire season.
Yeah, I think, you know, with Portland, and the thing is he didn't get a lot of playing time during that time in the summer league. He is 100% now, but looking at him, he seems as though he's still got his explosiveness. He can hit down that mid-range jumper, but the sample size is really small for me to kind of say, yes, he's going to make a roster right now, you know? So, we'll see. We'll definitely see. And, hey, how about this Tony Bosch story? I'm thinking about making that our barbershop tomorrow. This whole Tony Bosch scandal. Tony Bosch, he has pled guilty today, folks. Man, the DEA definitely wrapped him up this morning. That's going to be interesting to see how that story plays out. We'll have much more details on that tomorrow. But, hey, we're out of time. You hear the music. Thanks so much to all of you for tuning in to today's Current Sports. Remember, Current Sports TV tapes tomorrow with guest Terry Hesbrook, who is the head coach of the Ithaca football team. If you want to be a part of that live studio audience, you can sign up online for free at WKAR.org tomorrow at 10 p.m. at here, the WKAR TV studios. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing. As always, take care. Have one fantastic Tuesday afternoon. And, hey, be easy, people.